This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inna alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد. Always and forever we begin with the praise of Allah. We send our prayers of peace upon our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we testify with firmness and conviction that none is worthy of worship but Allah azza wa jalla, and that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his worshipping slave and final messenger. I continue to remind myself and you of taqwa Allah azza wa jalla, and I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inherits in you and I a conscious of being and an awareness of our duties to Him as He has obligated in our treatment of others. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to increase in the balance of the love that we have for Allah with a temperament of fear of Allah azza wa jal, and that its balance is with our raja and hope in His mercy on the day that we return to Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it the best of our days. Allahumma ameen. It is a distinct pleasure and honor that I have to share just a few minutes with my dear brothers and sisters here in High Wycombe in London. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has favored all of us to finish our daily salah, salat al-isha, jazallah al-imam for those beautiful ayat in the first rak'ah from Surah Taha. They're some of my favorite verses actually. And I'll comment a little bit on them in my discussion, inshaAllah. But may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our ibadah, make us from those who stand before Him evermore, and make us and our children from those who answer the call of falah, of success in this dunya, so that we will have success in the akhirah. Allahumma ameen. May Allah continue to join all of us in His worship. And if we don't get to meet again in this dunya, that we return to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we're happy to be seated with our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma'a an-nabiyyin was-siddiqin was-shuhada' was-salihin wa hasuna ulaika rafiqa. The topic that was chosen for me is about hope and change. And I was asked to be a little bit of a storyteller today, to share stories of hope and change. And ahsan al-qasas, the best of narratives and stories is that which is from the Quran. And inshallah, one of the things and hopes that I have, the aim of my 25-30 minutes with you, I know it's a working day, and I'm humbled that many of you were able to turn out on a Monday night. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala write it in your scale of reward. Allahumma ameen. I want inshallah that whenever you access the Quran, and I use that word intentionally, I didn't say when you read the Quran or when the Quran is read to you, when you access the Qur'an. Because the Qur'an has veils and it has pathways to it. Of the first pathways, of the first veil that you must cross for the Qur'an to become accessible to your heart is that you must approach it with a level of piety and sincerity. And our Imam, when he recited with us the very first dua of our salah, Ihdina, O Allah, lead us. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. If I'm left to my own device, I will never find it. And if you don't show me a path that others before me succeeded in reaching you through, I will never be guided. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. The path you showed those who were virtuous before me. غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ. Not the pathways of those who earned your wrath. ولا الضالين, or those who thought they knew the path, but were on a path that led them away from you. All of us, we said, Ameen, whether loud or in our chest, we say, Ameen. Oh Allah, this is what we want. The nature of our salah begins with that dua, with that hope that Allah will lead us to Him, that Allah will favor us with a pathway to Him. So Allah answers you. And He says, Alif Lam Mim, in the very next wajh, the very next page, Alif Lam Mim, ذلك الكتاب. It's this book. لا ريب فيه. Don't doubt it. Hudan. It is the guidance you're asking for. You said, اهدنا. Here is the huda. Hudan. But not for everyone. The first gateway, the first access point, hudan lil muttaqin. It is a guidance to those who approach it with taqwa, with a sincerity of heart, with a piety of being, with a conscious awareness that they approach this kitab not finding fault, but in submission and search for truth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who desire and seek to access the Qur'an first with our heart, as much so as it is with our eyes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us, He says, إِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارِ فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارِ. It's not the eyes that are blind. وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. In fact, it is the hearts that are unable to perceive. And therefore, the second access to the Qur'an is not that you're not familiar with its letter. It's not that you're unable to recite it or read it. It's that your heart does not seek it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. Is it not time for those who say and have come to faith that their hearts should humble to Allah's words in the Qur'an and what He has revealed to them of truth? بَلْ قُلُوبُهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ لَاهِيَةً قُلُوبُهُمْ. Allah warns, He says, their hearts are distracted with delights. In the hadith of Al-Imam Al-Tirmidhi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, إِنَّ كَثْرَةَ الضَّحَقْ تُمِيتُ الْقَلْبِ. Excessiveness of entertainment, where one is seeking laugh after laugh, levity after levity, where there's no seriousness and purpose in their life, it is result of their heart finding itself in a state of death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, صُمٌّ بُكْمٌ عُمْيٌ فَهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ. Some have become blind, dumb, deaf and blind, that their hearts, طَبَعَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. Their hearts then become sealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us in Surah Al-Anfal, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِلْرَّسُولِ. O ye who believe, hurriedly answer in earnestness the call to Allah and His Messenger. إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. When He invites you, when you're commanded to come to that which He has given you an invitation for. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَحُولُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَقَلْبِهِ. And be concerned and know that Allah can be the barrier between an individual and their own heart. Could you imagine that Allah becomes the barrier between you and Him? That the Qur'an that you're familiar with, you're unfamiliar with it. That the words you memorized are known in enunciation and pronunciation, but not in familiarity of purpose and being and practice. That it's a reflection of sound, but not of sound behavior. That it's not an attitude and a character you possess, so you become different to what Muhammad was, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who Aisha radiallahu anha describes, كان القرآن يمشي بين الناس. He was a walking Quran amongst people, walking amongst them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And therefore the stories that we narrate from the Quran hurriedly after this short introduction of hope and change is not one that is a bedtime story or one that is retold in a sense of mythology or grandeur. Its purpose is not meant to say, oh, tilka ummatun khalat, those are nations who came before us, how would we ever reach to that level? But rather, they're stories that concrete your very perception of the difficulties you and I find ourselves in, or at times are unaware that we're in. And therefore, when the Qur'an was sent, Allah gives a very simple message. He says, ضَرَبْنَا صَرَفْنَا in different verses, لِلنَّاسِ فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَثَلٍ. I've given a parable, a similitude, an example in this Qur'an for mankind in every constraint, in every opportunity that they will be confronted with, a parable, a similitude, an opportunity, an example for them to learn from. There's no subject matter that you cannot find a shade in the Qur'an to protect yourself with it. There's nothing that you will experience in life from the needs that you have as a human being that the Qur'an cannot find, you cannot find protection in its teaching and its letter and wording. And therefore I wish to give inshaAllah just three hurried examples. The first example is an auspicious one. It's about the season that is celebrated in these days and ages. We're going to look at Isa alayhi salam. And Nabiullah Isa, Rauhullah, he is given the title by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, different names. Kalimatullah, he is the word of God. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's word that is in allusion to the description of Isa is that he is kun fayakun. He was created by the instruction of Allah. Be, and he became. He is Rawhullah. He's the one who Jibreel alayhi salam carried his spirit directly to the womb of his mother, Maryam al-Tahira al-Batul alayhi salam. He is al-Masih, the anointing one. كَانَ يَمْسَحُ النَّاسِ. He would touch a person, يَمْسَح, he would touch his hand over an ill person, and by the power of Allah vested through his prayer, they would become cured. The blind would see, the deaf would hear, the mute would speak. The cripple would walk, the dead would come to life by the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isa alayhi salam was sent with a very simple message and mission to invite people who knew Allah but forgot Allah. The people who he lived amongst, they knew Allah but had forgotten Allah. Not forgotten Allah as who is Allah, but forgotten Allah as in the laws sent to them by Allah. And subhanAllah, as Muslims today, we find ourselves struggling with the same thing. We know Allah, but we forget Allah. We forget Allah's instructions. And therefore, what were considered thawabit, foundations, pillars of faith that have been immovable for generations, hundreds of years, are today coming to question. Whether it relates to attire, for males or female, sexuality, decency, acts of criminality, what is thoughtful and what is inconsiderate, what are adab, what are the manners of a Muslim, and what are not. Things that have been common traits for humans as submitters to Allah prior to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and revitalized with our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the very thawabit and foundations are becoming eroded. And therefore today, we have the struggle of a child with their parent. You have the struggle of a husband and wife in roles, egalitarian or traditional marriages. You have the struggle of rizq. Halal and haram has become unambiguous. We're not sure. We don't even want to be sure. We don't want to ask the question because we know the answer, but if we hear it formally, it becomes a problem. The things that were bedrock have now become quicksand. And an ummah begins to sink. Isa was sent in such a time. And he became and was meant to be the hope. But they rebelled. And the people of Bani Israel knew him as they know their own children. As they would later know Muhammad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبَاءَهُمْ. They know you, ya Muhammad, as well as they know their own fathers and mothers. As well as they know their own fingers. They don't deny you, ya Muhammad, in terms of you not having the signs and being a legitimate person. But there is arrogance at times that strikes people. There's fear of change. Isa alayhi salam, Allah says and quotes him that he was instructed to say, وَجِئْتُكُمْ لِأُحِلَّ لَكُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي حُرِّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ. I came to revolutionize and to update you on some of the laws that are now practiced by you, that I will make halal some of the things that were deemed haram by others previously. I've come to bring change. I've come to do something by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was something upsetting to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَرِيقًا كَذَّبُوا وَفَرِيقًا يَقْتُلُونَ. The habit at the time was that either you put him to death or belie him, treat him as a fool. Zakariya alayhi salam had been given the blessing of a son named Yahya, John the Baptist. And Zakariya had been asking Allah for a child, as we all know. You know, we know Surah Maryam. Oh Allah, give me a child. هَبْلِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ ذُرِّيَّةً طَيِّبَةً إِنَّكَ سَمِيعُ الدُّعَاءِ. The dua of Maryam's mother and the dua of Zakariya was done similar in time. Both of them wanted a child for a very special reason. They see everything that is around them is changing. The bedrock of their faith is becoming liquid. Things are becoming diluted and eroded. Oh Allah, give us one more chance. Let not me, Zakariya, be the final prophet to Bani Israel. يَرِثُنِي وَيَرِثُ مِنْ آلِ يَعْقُوبِ. Give me one son, O Allah, one more chance, one child who will inherit the mission you gave me. I've become old, my hair has turned a flame of white. Let Bani Israel have one more chance. Allah gives them one more chance. Yahya and Isa. And Isa alayhi salam is sent without a father. This was a signal to Bani Israel that when Isa is elevated, there's no more paternity. He has no brother, he has no father. There's nobody else in that bloodline of these families who's going to carry forward prophethood. It's going to change from the lineage of Ishaq to the lineage of Ismail. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam would come from. Last chance. And what do they try to do? They try to put him on a cross. وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُ. They didn't kill him. They didn't even put him on the cross. But it was made to appear so. عليه السلام. And he was elevated to become hope for us and change for them. Change of lineage and the emergence of the final Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the mercy to mankind. But hope for our ummah into the future. And the Prophet ﷺ said, طُوبَ لِعَيْشٍ مَعَ الْمَسِيحِ. how blessed life will be when Jesus, the Messiah, returns. يُؤْذَنُ لِلْأَرْضِ فِي بَرَكَتِهَا. The earth will be given the instruction to show its blessing once again. A pomegranate will be able to house a family. Its shell can be used to build a structure. That the animals will not prey on human beings. There will be peace amongst man. A hope that would return. Why is this significant for us to dwell upon today? As difficult as you see life, and as tight and as narrow as the world may collapse in amongst the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and if you don't feel that there is a narrowing, it may be because you are not seeing with your heart, but rather looking with your eyes. And as you watch news reports, as you read things on your social media, as you hear things firsthand from others, one of the first thoughts that should come to you is, oh Allah, bring your relief. Oh Allah, the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh Allah, seal the hearts of the believers with firmness. Oh Allah, keep us firm upon the deen. Oh Allah, we're proud of being in a state of ghurba, that we're a little bit estranged from others. We're not different from others, but we understand we're distinct amongst others. Oh Allah, let us feel the honor of being a little bit different and happy with that distinction, oh Allah. But to always know that there were people who were better than us, who were sent by Allah for missions better than us, that were repelled and pushed back and fought against and waged against. وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. But Allah says they didn't change what they were instructed to do. And of the first lessons that I wish to say to you, that we take from the story of Isa alayhi salam and from the promise of Allah that he would return, is that at times that the difficulties that we encounter in life, in society, in our homes, in our personal or collective communal life, are ones that are to be tempered by a faith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has an ultimate plan. And Isa and the Sahaba, the Hawariyin around him, perhaps they didn't understand the ultimate plan. You would be a follower of Isa alayhi salam and you say, SubhanAllah, why is Allah ascending him? Why don't we put up a struggle? Why are we going to be, as Allah describes, fariqan yaqtulun? Why are we going to be murdered and put to death as happened to the Jerusalem Christians, believers in Isa alayhi salam? But know that remaining firm upon faith and not changing from what is right to what is less right is one of the great sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in testing mankind. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test our stubbornness in adherence to the truth when it is obstinate in the hearts and in the minds of others. The second example I wish to share with you is a personal example. I was blessed, alhamdulillah, in the month of September to lead something called a hadith tour. And I visited Uzbekistan, and we traveled through Tashkent, Bukhara, and Samarkand, which is famous areas of Islamic heritage and history. And it was a life-changing tour. The purpose behind it was to teach Sahih al-Bukhari in the city of his birth in Bukhara, in the masjid that he would teach in, that he studied in, and to visit the hallmarks and the societies that Muslims had built magnificent houses of learning in. And when you arrive in Bukhara, you're astounded at what you see. And one of the great stories that I wish to share with you, inshallah, about hope, comes directly from your ancestry, your heritage. The Muslims in the city of Imam al-Bukhari had built great houses of learning. And they were some of the most thriving trading posts in the world. Bukhara is on the Silk Road. When you're in Bukhara, there's a marketplace that has been there for 3,000-4,000 years. When you stand in the middle of this same marketplace, it's got four doorways. If you look this doorway, it leads you to Mongolia. That used to be the road to Mongolia. This way, it goes to India. This way to Rome, that way to Jian, China. You're in the center crossroads of the world. And Bukhara was a very strategic place. Genghis Khan invaded Bukhara. And when he invaded Bukhara, he laid siege to the city in a lightning strike. And the Muslim army was sucked out into the desert, encircled, and cut down until not a single person survived. It was a great military disaster. And a little bit before Fajr, Genghis Khan with his horse rode into the central masjid of Bukhara. And the imam was leading prayer. And Genghis Khan with his horse came up front to the imam and kicked him. Stop this chanting and prayer you're performing. The imam continued in his salah. The imam and the congregation knew, if Genghis Khan is here, it means our armies have been destroyed, we're all going to die. Because that was the policy of Genghis Khan. And this infuriated Genghis Khan that the imam bowed to Allah. And as he bowed, he chopped him. And everybody in the city, everybody in the masjid was put to death. He took all of their bodies and buried them in the well of wudu in Bukhara. The Minara of Bukhara was the only building that was left standing. The only building. The only reason he left it standing was he would put his troops up top to see the horizon if there's an army coming, if there's a defensive position being brought. What's the hope in that? The hope in that, ya ibadallah, is that as you stand in that place, in a masjid that was destroyed, you stand in a masjid that was rebuilt. Who rebuilt it? A generation later, and one after, his own grandson. The man who came and butchered all the believers in the masjid, his own lineage, his own people, came back and rebuilt it. Allahu Akbar. When you stand there, you shiver. It's astounding. Subhanallah. From the place Imam Bukhari taught, from where they're buried, these great ulama, Imam Muslim, Imam al-Nasa'i, Imam Abu Dawood, Imam al-Tirmidhi, all of them in the same place. All of them in the same 500 kilometers of each other. In what is present-day Uzbekistan. It's incredible. This house of learning, 100 or so years later, 200 years later, a few hundred years later, put all to death, all of the believers in that land. Give it another generation, and subhanallah, Allah returns the full cycle. And as I stood there, wallahi, I thought, ya Allah, which end of the cycle are we in? Are we an ummah of resurgence, of change? Are we those who are bringing back khair to the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Or are we the ones who are sinking in it? Which side of that circle? Look at how Allah says, وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. On the day of Uhud, Allah reveals these verses to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. Don't find in your heart dissatisfaction with this loss. Don't feel humiliated and have no sorrow. These are days that we give to man in turn. يَوْمٌ لَنَا وَيَوْمٌ عَلَيْنَا. As Umar radiallahu anhu responded to Abu Sufyan on that day of Uhud, a day for us and a day against us. But there's always الْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. The resurgence is always for those who have piety with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah bring earnestly the faraj upon the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I leave you in these last 5 minutes, inshallah, with a final narration. So we had one from the Quran, one from our history, and one from the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam about optimism and hope. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the hypocrites on the day of Al-Khandaq, where the Prophet ﷺ is in the middle of a trench, digging a trench, a moat, to save the Medina. There's an army of confederates, of a variety of tribes coming out of the desert to put a final end to Muhammad ﷺ and all of those who believe in him in Al-Medina. And the Prophet ﷺ takes counsel with the Sahaba. We don't have an army to be able to face them in open pitch combat in the desert. What should we do? Salman al-Farisi, radiallahu anhu, who the Prophet on that day says, huwa minni wa ana min, he's from me, he's from my family, radiallahu anhu, count him as being of me. Salman radiallahu anhu says, ya Rasulullah, in our places in Persia, if we had a large army, we dig a trench so that they couldn't jump over with their horses, their infantry cannot attack us, and we would shoot them with the arrows from a distance to try to keep the odds even. The Prophet agreed. And for a month they began to prepare, hearing that the tribes are gathering, coming, they begin to dig the trench. And there's a boulder, a massive rock. And as mighty as the Sahaba are, and as many of them who try to break it, all of them together cannot. And if this rock isn't broken, it becomes a bridge for the infantry, for the horses to jump over to the other side. And they come to the Prophet ﷺ in complaint. They say, ya Rasulullah ﷺ, we know you've been digging, but there's this rock. We don't know what to do with it. Prophet said, show it to me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he takes the axe, a pickaxe, فَضَرَبَهَا. And the hadith is in Al-Bukhari. He strikes it once and a spark explodes from it. And a thunderous noise emanates. Prophet ﷺ, there's a takbir that comes from him. And he says, we've been given conquest of Persia. Persia? You're in the mud. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Persia? You're not even fighting for your own life. You can't even fight for your own life. You're digging a defensive position because if you are in fight, you're going to lose. You're trying to protect yourself even from the battle. And you're talking about the kingdom of Persia, the greatest army of that time, غُلِبَتِ الرُّومِ. Allah begins Surah Al-Rum that the Persians defeated the Romans, the Byzantines, and you say their kingdom is yours? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فُتِحَتْ. It's been given in conquest to us. And he strikes it again. Yemen and Ash-Sham. Allahu Akbar. Damascus and Persia and Yemen, the Arabian Peninsula, all of it conquest. The munafiqeen, they're standing above and they hear the Prophet ﷺ say this. And they say, غَرَّ هَؤُلَاءِ دِينُهُمْ. These men are beguiled, befooled by their faithfulness. Their reverence in God has made them lose their mind. They're talking about Persia and they're in the mud. And Allah quotes this ayah. قَالُوا غَرَّ هَؤُلَاءِ دِينُهُمْ. They said about you, Ya Muhammad, that you've been beguiled by your faith in God. But in the midst of difficulty, if there is sabr, if there's patience, if there's endurance, وَلَمَنْ صَبَرْ, if there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who hold fast, إِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ, those who are strict in it, that they can bring about a resurgence that others can't. And I want to leave you with this question. How patient are you with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How patient are you with the laws of Allah? With what Allah has obligated and with what Allah has made haram and with the nawazil, with the things Allah tests you with in life? Would you be from those who are in the trench with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Or would you be from those who say, what is this man talking about? Persia? And we're in the mud. What hope do you have in your heart for Allah? And what faithfulness carries you through the day? What light and purpose do you have that brings you to a mode of optimism and happiness? And I leave you with the dua of the Prophet ﷺ that he would say in his mornings, as is narrated by Imam al-Tirmidhi. He would begin his day sallallahu alayhi wasallam by saying, Allahumma inni as'aluka khayra hadha al-yawm. O Allah, I ask you for the good you have endowed in this day. Fathahu wa nasrahu wa nurahu wa huda. O Allah, I ask you for the conquest of this day, the victory of this day, the light of this day, and the guidance you have placed for me in this day. O Allah, bless me with it. May Allah bless our days with His light, with His guidance, with His victory, and with His conquest. Allahumma ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill our hearts with hope. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it the reason for change in our life. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم سبحانك اللهم بحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. If you could give my brother Sajid a couple of minutes, mashallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give assistance to our brothers at Charity Right. I was here for the FOSIS conference. I was there Saturday and Sunday, and جزاهم الله خير. I'm on my way to Umrah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from me, and may Allah allow you to stand there as I inshallah intend to stand. May Allah carry you to His sacred house, and Allah carry me to there safely. Allahumma ameen. And the brothers, jazakumullah khair, they said, Shaykh, you have a couple of days. Let us do something in places that are not as regularly visited. And I'm honored, alhamdulillah, that I had an opportunity to visit with you. And jazakumullah khair for Charity Right for making it so, and to the noble imams and directors and trustees of this masjid for giving me such a prestigious platform. Jazakumullah khair. Allahu Akbar.
Jazakallah khair.